Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
Yeah, I stand with the president. There is a national emergency at the border. I was with the president Wednesday afternoon in the White House. He felt that if the vote was going to go this way, he is prepared to veto. I encourage him to do so, and his veto will be sustained. There are not the votes to override the president. Listen to Chuck Schumer there. I mean, he is a border security denier. He's denying that there is an issue at the border, that we need more security, and he's denying the money that we need as a nation to secure our borders. Today, 130 Americans will die in this country as a result of opioid addiction and overdose. That, to me, is brought here by the Mexican cartels, and they are using our borders as a way to do it.
That's Senator John Barrasso, who supported the president's national emergency yesterday with his vote, stands by the president and wants to make sure that that message is out there. Now, we were here just about this time yesterday when the Senate voted, and we discovered that Senator Roy Blunt had voted against the national emergency. We put a request out immediately to get him to come on this show, and he was able to do that. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, we had this interview at 12:25. A lot of you have said I didn't get to hear the whole thing. You get to listen to the whole thing right now. Senator, thank you so much for squeezing us in. It's great to speak with you.
Hey, Annie. It's great to talk to you, and thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely.
Particularly when you're talking about good humor and comedy and getting along. And
yeah. Yeah.
All of that.
Well, on that note.
Forget that.
Yeah. So we got that out of the way. Check that box.
Moving on. Right.
Well, you know, I think it's important to give you an opportunity to speak to the people, your constituents, about why you voted the way you did. And I said yesterday, listen, I live right across the river and I commute into Missouri every day. I've got Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth. I know how they're going to vote on everything. So when your name came up as one of these 12 senators to vote not in favor of the president's national emergency, first, I'll just give you the opportunity to tell us, why'd you vote that way?
Well, sure. And, you know, since this first came up about 6 weeks ago, I've been saying every chance I had that this would be a problem for me, because I think it potentially sets a new standard for emergencies that we've never had before. I've talked to the White House about it a number of times. I was standing by the president on Wednesday when he and I talked about it. I'm supportive of what he's trying to do here, but I'm also supportive of the constitutional way to do it. And the president knows, and anybody that pays any attention knows, I've been very supportive of him, and particularly on the border issues. But when you ask the Congress for money and then don't get it, and then declare an emergency, nobody's ever used the emergency statute that way before. The emergency statute's always been used before in the 58 times it's been used since 1976, on things that were like right after 9/11, where this truly is something that the country hadn't had time to talk about in the normal process. And I'm hopeful the president will work with us to kind of dial back some of the ability of future presidents to use the emergencies in the way they might want to. And, the last power that the Congress has in that balance of power is the power of the purse, the power to appropriate. When you do that on an issue that's been hotly debated for 3 years now, since the president came down the escalator and then decide, no, that's an emergency, we don't need to go through the normal constitutional process, I think it's a problem. Now, if I'd have voted the other way, it would still be exactly the situation we're in today. There are not enough votes to override the president's veto. the courts will decide this at some future point, and they may decide that any future president can decide in these 130 different statutes, 30 of which are in energy, by the way, where you can declare an emergency, that any future president can do that. I think that would be a bad thing, so I'm trying to convince the president, and I think he wants to be helpful in finding a way to dial this back to where you can't have a climate change emergency, or you can't have a gun emergency, or you can't have a whatever emergency, a Medicare for all emergency, a health emergency. That's not the kind of country we want to be, and I'm fully supportive of what the president's trying to do. I think he could have done it without using the emergency statute and probably built more wall quicker. And he knows, I think, that.
So,
and,
Senator,
you know, we got off to a really good start, the president and I did. I chaired the inauguration when he was sworn in. That was really our first extended time together. And I like him, and I think he likes me. And I told him what I was going to do, and I believe he, while he didn't agree with that, I think he appreciated a face-to-face discussion about here's what I'm going to do and here's why I'm going to do it.
This is what I hear. We're speaking with Senator Roy Blunt, one of the 12 Republican senators to vote against the national emergency yesterday. A lot of callers getting a lot of tweets. I'm sure that you're getting all of the same things and extensively so. But folks don't think that precedent matters to the Democrats. Folks think that the Democrats are going to get into power and that they are going to do this whether Donald Trump does it or not. It makes it easier to say Trump did this, so we're going to do it. But a lot of Republicans, and I'll put myself in this category as well, feel like these are things that the Democrats do regardless. And we're kind of tired of being the only ones who don't get to the
table.
Well,
we've had lots of Democrats have been president since 1976, including Barack Obama for 8 years, and nobody ever tried to do this before.
Mm-hmm.
And once you establish the idea that
isn't it like Harry Reid, though, going nuclear option on confirming a justice? I mean,
changing the Senate rules is different than ignoring the Constitution, in my view.
Okay.
You know, it's a clear Article One power. The Article One, it's a clear power, specifically, it's not an amendment. It's clearly in Article One that the Congress appropriates the money, and all those appropriations bills start in the House, even the closer to the body closest to the people. That is the biggest of all the balance of power issues. And there are two things that could happen here. You know, the court could decide that maybe as late as 2 years from now. You know, I think that's why this will not be a speedy way to build the wall necessarily. The court, and there's plenty of money available that the president will use before we get to the emergency, and we can talk about that if you want to. But the court could decide, like they did with President Truman, no, presidents don't have the ability to do things like nationalize the steel industry because it's a national security issue. Or they could decide, no, that's really not up to the courts to decide what an emergency is, as long as there's a statute that allows it, and Congress hasn't changed it, and of course to change it you have to have the president sign it, and Congress hasn't changed it, then that's not our job. And so Democrats are already talking, as you know, about climate change emergency, gun emergency, and other emergencies, nobody's done this up till now, so I think that's a pretty hollow argument. You know, the courts may define it in a good way, so it's clear that not only can this president not do it, but no other president can either. That would be a good way for the future, but I'd rather help the president do what he wants to do and secure the border, and then hopefully he has shown some inclination going forward to work with us to try to further define what an emergency really is and what part Congress has to play in that before it becomes a long-term emergency.
Senator Blunt,
doesn't end.
A lot of the Democrats have been calling this a fake national emergency. Would you agree with them on that?
No, I wouldn't agree with them on that. I think it's a problem. I think that what I might disagree with would be, is it an emergency if it's a problem you've been debating for months or years? You know, the recent onslaught at the border, that's been out there for at least a year. The immigration and the border has been a problem. Remember, coming down the escalator and getting off, candidate Trump talked about this as an issue. I think 9/11 is an emergency. I think some border issue where we have reasons to be involved that involves other countries where the president has to do something immediately is an emergency. I think this is a big problem, and I've done everything I can to try to help the president solve that problem and intend to continue to do that. Remember, the president, we just now started building 85 miles of wall that the Congress provided money for well over a year ago. To get ready to actually build takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The president got that much money again this year. That $1.34 billion it will take longer than you think to spend. The president on his own can come up with $600 million of forfeiture money, which is totally within his purview. And the president, frankly, can take as much as $4 billion of defense money, particularly defense money in the, there's $2.5 billion in a drug corridors area that's, that even mentions building fences there. And there's money to do this. I want to help the president do this. You know, and the bottom line for anybody who thinks, gee, that really bad Roy Blunt changed the world here, we're exactly where the president knew we would be when he set out to do this. He mm-hmm. knew it was very likely that at least four Republicans in the Senate would vote to disapprove. He knew it was almost certain that the House would vote to disapprove. He knew that he would veto, and that veto would be upheld. And he also knew that the court, over a matter of long months, would decide whether this is an emergency or not, and we'll see what they have to say. But I do know what the Constitution says, and if I was the president and I had this authority and wanted to test it, might use it. But you know, the oath I take is to the Constitution and to try to maintain the balance of power in the country. And many of the people that you're talking to today were people that 3 or 4 years ago were wanting to be sure we held to the letter of the Constitution. In terms of the Congress, it doesn't get bigger than how you spend the money. That's mm-hmm. how you set policy. And I want to do everything I can to help the president do what he's trying to do here. I'm fully supportive of it.
Sure.
Senator, I also want to be sure that I maintain the integrity of what I see as the integrity of the process going forward.
Senator Blunt, I think you've done a really good job of explaining why you voted the way you voted. And whenever you cast a vote like that, obviously there are going to be people who are going to like it. There are going to be people. It's not like you're ever going to cast a vote and everyone's like, that was it. That's the one. He did that 100% right. So I think it's important to understand why you voted the way you did. But then there's always the next thing that comes, which is the political game that follows. I want to play for you Chuck Schumer here.
It shouldn't be so unusual for members of the president's own party to stand with us and hold him to account when he does wrong, especially a president who so overreaches. But I'm thankful that Republican senators did the right thing. I applaud them for it. Let's hope that these votes this week are green shoots. Republicans, out of courage, out of principle, and maybe out of exasperation, are beginning to constrain the president when he goes too far.
Your colleague Chuck Schumer suggesting possibly you voted this way out of courage, principle, and maybe even exasperation to constrain the president when he goes too far. Does your colleague have a fair assessment of your vote with those words?
No, I don't think that's fair, and I'm not about to let Chuck Schumer characterize why I'm doing what I'm doing. I think I just did that really well with you. You know, there are two votes this week, for instance, maybe three. There was a vote on Yemen, where a majority of the Senate actually voted to discontinue what we're doing in Yemen. I voted with the president on that. That was the day before. And, you know, a number of Republicans had a different view of that. I'm not critical of anybody else's vote, but the only vote I get to decide how to cast it is mine. And, you know, the Constitution matters. I think the president understands, even if he doesn't agree, why I voted the way I did, and we'll let the court sort this out.
Yeah, I think the key thing that people need to understand here is that the vote for the national emergency, people who voted against that are not inherently opposed to border security. It's a separate issue.
Absolutely, and I have said literally thousands of times over the last 10 years that the first thing we have to do to solve these immigration problems is to secure the border. And I've said hundreds of times that the best person to actually do that first step and then convince people that that's where we are is the president, because he is so committed to it. We want to continue. One of the things I've been working with them over the last 6 weeks since this came up has been, look, there's another way to do this, some of which I just went through with you, that will give you more money than we can spend in this first term, and let's run the second term on, as you are anyway, on finishing the wall. Mm-hmm. The border security is a legitimate expectation of the federal government, but there's a way to do it, and there's a way that I think creates future problems. Because I agree with this president doesn't mean I'd agree with the next one.
Yeah.
And so that's where I am. Like I said, if I would have voted differently, there would have been 11 senators. If five of us would have voted differently, there would have been seven senators. That took four. I thought it was important to express my view on this, as I shared it with the president. The Congress still matters. We all got very excited and upset when President Obama talked about the phone and the pen. National emergency is about as big a use of the pen as you can possibly use, and we were all outraged when President Obama tried to spend non-appropriated money for Obamacare on Obamacare. I was part of a fight every year to actually put in the appropriations bill that he couldn't do that. I joined the House of Representatives and supported their efforts to go to court. We took President Obama to court on the basis that you can't spend money differently than it's appropriated, even though you've said you're about to. So it's not a new fight. It's just a fight that it looks different if you're on the side of it that you agree with what's trying to be done.
Well, Senator Roy Blunt, we appreciate you defending your vote here today and at least having that opportunity to speak with you so you can explain the vote. I think is a very important part of the process, and we value the time you gave us today.
Hey, Annie, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for what you do every day, and look forward to seeing you before too long.
Yes, absolutely. Senator Roy Blunt, appreciate you. Well, if you wanted to know what Senator Blunt had to say about his vote, if you wanted to know why he voted, and you've been listening to 97.1 today, you know that's been very presented to you. Lots of reactions still coming in, full phones right now. I know you folks want to weigh in on this issue, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, if you're on the line, hold on there. We're going to get to your phone calls and let you continue to weigh in on this issue. And at 2:40, we're going to do an Annie, Are You Okay? With Ryan, who's filling in today for Frank. So stay tuned. More Annie Fry Show coming your way.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Just had a replay there of the interview earlier in the 12 o'clock hour from Senator Blunt. That is Senator Blunt joined Mark Cox this morning right after my hit. I'm on Mark's show every morning. Not every morning. No, good grief. 7:10 on Fridays, I joined Mark Cox. And today my time got cut in half because the senator was going to speak to the folks there, so you can listen to that at 971talk.com/Cox, and then we had him on at 12:25 and just replayed it for you there. Many people wanting to react to this, so I want to try to get in as many phone calls here in this segment as I possibly can, 314-241-9797. Let's get to our first guest. Let's go to Ray. Ray, thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
Hi, Ray.
He is so wrong, so wrong, and he knows he's wrong. That's why he's given all these interviews, trying to cover himself. The president did everything he could do. He's definitely within Article 2 of the Constitution, and he's definitely within the law that is written. It's been in effect since 1976, and if some yokel tries to do it against guns, he's going against the Constitution, and he'll have a civil war.
Ray, you know, the one thing that I understand you're disagreeing with his position on this issue. Many people do. I'm hearing from lots of people on the phones, but also on social media. But I actually think that the fact that he's willing to come on here isn't an indication that he thinks he's wrong. I think it's actually...
Oh, he's trying to cover himself.
No, I think he's confident that he's right. I think that's why he's willing to do it.
Well, he says it's not an emergency, and that's wrong. Fentanyl has killed more people in the last year than died in the 9/11 incidents.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's got to be bringing somebody's attention up. Hey, you got people dying all over the place. And I ain't saying that's the only reason, but that's a major reason right there. It is an emergency.
Yeah, Ray, thank you.
More people come over the border right now than ever before.
Ray, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you weighing in. And I think that, you know, the discussion about whether something needs to be done, you know, this one thing I was thinking about since we talked to Ray Blunt is he said, you know, we've been debating on this for months and months and months. I wonder if Roy Blunt would have been okay with him declaring it a national emergency from the very get-go and then said, I will lift the national emergency if Congress will appropriate the funds to handle the situation. Because then the argument from the senator suggesting that how can it be a national emergency if we can discuss it and debate it for this long and then the last thing we do is declare it a national emergency rather than the first thing. Obviously, if the president were to come out and immediately declare that national emergency politically in the media, he'd be crucified for, you know, exerting presidential authority in such an authoritarian kind of way. So the president is going to get criticized no matter what. But I disagree with you, Ray, in the sense that I think the reason why Senator Blunt is willing to come on and have this discussion is because he stands by what he said, because if he didn't, he wouldn't come talk to us and reiterate why that is. Let's get to Ross. Ross, thanks for calling the show. Hey, Ross, you there?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, so Senator Blunt had a great point, but I believe that the Democrats are playing on a much higher level. This is a political, a strategic calculation to change the makeup of the voter pool wherever they can do it. That's the only reason they're doing this. It's not about the people. It's about the votes. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, Ross, I agree with you in that sense. Thanks for calling. I agree with you that this is a political play by the left. That's why they want to eliminate ICE. That Immigration Control Enforcement, is that what it's? I think that's what ICE stands for. That's why they want to make sure that we don't pay attention to this situation, because the Democrats politically gain from it. How awfully disgusting is that? I agree with you. And you know, I'm not even 100% sure I feel like I support the senator in his vote to do what he thought was right. I respect him for doing what he thought was right. And again, I live in the state of Illinois. He's not my senator. My senators are Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin. So that's the hole I'm staring deep into. It's a black abyss. But when I talked to Senator Blunt, he was clear to say that he supports the president in securing the border. His departure is on the declaration of the national emergency. And is it nuanced? Yes. Is it splitting hairs? You might think so, and a lot of you do. But I commend the president I commend the senator for coming on here and speaking and answering these tough questions. Tim, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie. I disagree with him completely. We have a national emergency. If there was 11 to 15 million people at our border, ready at border on our shores, north, south, east, and west, ready to come into our country illegally and forcefully, every branch of the military would be deployed. What Senator Blunt has been a part of is kicking this can down the road for decades. I know he hasn't been there for 50 years, but he's been there long enough to be part of the problem. And the Democrats are so much better politicians. They're lousy statesmen.
Sure.
They're excellent politicians. They go together like they lockstep with the national, whatever the national policy is, they get lockstep. And that's why they get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans are just not good politicians. They're better statesmen, I believe, for the most part, but they're not good politicians. And we've got a situation now where we've got 11 to 15 million, in essence, political insurgents in our country. Because if that voting block is almost 5% of our population, Republicans, if they get the vote, they will vote Democrat, and we will have a one-party system. It will never be a two-party system again. That is a national emergency.
Yeah, I you know, Tim, I don't disagree with you there at all. We're going to take a quick break here and come back, and we're going to do an Annie, Are You Okay segment here to send the show on off to the Dave Glover Show, taking over at 3. But we're going to continue to watch as the president is anticipated to veto. I think they had said earlier today that they were expecting it around 2:30. So we're watching that as well. We're going to take a quick break so we can make sure that we go to that in the event that it happens right now. And see what Annie is okay with. Just speak in the first person. Jeez.
This song.
I played the song yesterday, and Katie's like says it's the only thing she's listened to since I played it before.
Non-stop. Love it.
Default. Right?
I forgot about this. Yeah.
Not to be confused with default. Which is another way you can say that word. I know you are all very impressed with how cool I am. It's tragic. It's really sad. All right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. All of Missouri. Same. Listen, Blunt. Listen, Blunt. A lot of people not digging the vote against the president's national emergency. So we've got the interview linked up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Go click on the link there. You can listen to the interview in full and comment on that post how you feel, because I know that there have been lots of people who have been calling in who we haven't been able to get to everybody, but I'm reading these comments and I want to hear from you, and you can communicate with us through there. Also at Annie Fry Show on Twitter. I've been talking about this because it just made me laugh so much. Also on our Facebook page, Jimmy Fallon. He didn't do this last night, I don't think, but did you hear Jay Leno criticizing late night TV for just being all politics all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was maybe last night or the night before, probably the night before, Jimmy Fallon had Jay Leno on, as he positioned it as Jimmy ran into this angry guy on the street. So Jay Leno came on and told some very funny jokes that had nothing to do with politics. So that was kind of funny. And then I come across on Facebook, because I follow them on their Facebook page, and Jimmy Fallon dressed as Beto O'Rourke and really having fun with what we heard the president say yesterday.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? So I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference, and I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Study it, he says. That's like when he's in a press conference and he doesn't hear someone, he points at him, he goes, say it.
Say it.
That's
love it.
A Trumpism. Every time he says that, if we're covering that in studio and we've got the press conference on and he says it, we all out loud repeat, say it. So Jimmy Fallon did a little bit of Beto parody last night.
Hi, I'm Beto O'Rourke, and I'm excited. That's it. I'm just excited. Oh, yeah. I'm also running for president of the United States. I love the United States, and I love running. In fact, I literally just ran 8 miles to get here. Folks often say to me, we don't know much about you, Beto. We know you ran against Ted Cruz in Texas. We know you're hot. And then usually the hot thing comes up again. But who's the real Beto O'Rourke? Well, I'm sort of like if a compassionate head nod turned into a person.
You got to go to the Facebook page and watch the video. Because it is, he, like, as you watch it, good parody. Like, they begin to look like that person.
Yes.
And become more and more believable. And you can kind of hear the breathiness in Jimmy Fallon's voice, because the whole time he's doing it, he's, like, his arms out like this and flailing
totally.
Him. And his wife is, like, you know how when politicians sit there and the wife is there, they hold hands very, you know, romantically, gently, just sitting next to each other, they hold hands, and she's like holding his hand the whole time and flailing all over the couch.
It's perfect.
That's pretty funny.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This? Annie, are you walking?
Are you walking, Annie? Brian filling in today.
Let's start with some Beto news. This is breaking news.
Which he can't even say with a straight face.
All right, here we go. Beto O'Rourke has admitted to being in a group called Cult of the Dead Cow. Real.
Real news.
O'Rourke has said he was on the fringes of the group when he was younger. Cult of the Dead Cow is known in underground circles as being one of the preeminent and oldest major computer hacking groups in America.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a hacker?
He said he was on the fringes because he thought it was cool, and that he's not a great hacker, but apparently he was at least okay at
it. Has he worked with the Hillary administration and campaigns? I mean, that's kind of a scary thing to think about. What's it called? Cult of the Dead Cow?
Cult of the Dead Cow. And it's pretty well known in probably like World of Warcraft world.
Oh, let me harken back to my World of Warcraft.
That is oh, a you really... were in that world too?
Are you guys Parks and Rec fans?
Yes.
Okay, so that sounds like something that Andy would create as a musical, a name for his band. Just like...
Cult of the Dead Cow.
Cult of it. And, you know, and Parks and Rec, he's always like, nailed it, I got it.
Yeah.
Dibs, it's mine.
No, I'm shocked at that. I thought this was going to go into something about his band.
No.
That was a different time.
That was a different... This was maybe even before that. I think he was like a teenager when he was in this.
Interesting.
But he just admitted
I'm not
to
really
it.
Cool with the president being... I need to know more information on that. I don't know. Are you walking,
Danny? If you're trying to start a dialogue with someone, there are two questions that you should never use. These two questions are the worst at getting a conversation going. You want to take a guess as to what they are? They're the most innocuous questions that you could come up with, if that's a hint.
The questions that to start the
like
conversation
to start off? A conversation.
Hey, can I ask you something? I don't know.
That's pretty close. How are you?
That's
hey, how are you? I really don't care how you are. I got to tell you something. Yeah.
I'm fine, Tony.
Disingenuous.
And the other, especially at work functions, what do you do? The questions suggest instead of those, include, this is real, they really suggest these questions. What is your current state of mind?
What? No.
Or,
you Tony, next time I walk up to you, if I go, hey, Tony, what's your current state of mind?
No.
That's all right.
He's going to look at me, shake his head, and walk away.
Yeah.
The other one was, you remind me of a celebrity, but I don't remember which one. Who's someone that you relate to?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
We should do this after the show.
What's your state of mind?
We should do this Mark after Close? The show. We should just walk up to people and ask these questions and see how uncomfortable we
ask,
make
it. That's ask true. It to me.
What you remind me of a celebrity, Tony, but I don't remember which one. Who's someone you relate to?
Bernie Sanders.
Celebrity. Yeah.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
I wish you could have seen the presentation that accompanied the Bernie Sanders there, because there was a lean in and a hands out Beto kind
the
of
eyes
like.
Eyes got big.
Did you see what happened? I don't know. I'm not
his hair
scoop
grew
you.
Long and white and it got crazy all of a sudden.
Did you see that Bernie Sanders has got a shiner on his face?
No.
What did he ran
I
into?
I slipped in the shower.
Bernie's here.
Yeah, it's great. The
shower door got me right on the head.
It looks like a pretty big, they said 7 stitches.
Wow.
Let the conspiracy theories commence, but it is quite a shiner. I'm sure you'll probably see it somewhere. Are you walking,
Danny? He was getting hazed because he was joining the cult of the dead cow.
I think the shower door was a capitalist.
A new craze known as cowboy pinball is sweeping the rodeo circuit and putting participants in danger.
Cowboy pinball.
During the event, contestants stand inside chalk circles and a bull is released into the arena. The bull will often charge at the contestants, and the winner of the contest is the last person to leave their circle.
Mm-hmm.
The prize for the winner is typically about $100.
I'd do it.
Play stupid
for
games.
$100?
Yeah.
No way.
Gotta live a little bit, Katie.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Exactly.
Do it for
you have to live a little bit, which is why you don't.
What happens if you get knocked out of your...
Yeah, as long as you're the last one in the circle, so no matter how you leave.
Okay.
With a bull?
With a bull. And the bull's running around the arena.
Ryan, how dedicated are you to being a part of this show?
Do I need to do this on video? Is that what you're suggesting?
Put him in the ring, boys.
How fast can you get a bull and an arena?
I know some farmers.
You'd be surprised.
I know some people in Southern Illinois that have some bulls.
Who's going to give up the $100 if he makes
it?
Yeah,
that's the big question. Not the arena or the bull. Who's got $100?
How much money would it take, Ryan? I'm not offering, but
to participate?
To participate in something. Is there an amount of money?
I'd probably do it for $1,000. I don't know if I'd win, but I'd start there.
$1,000?
Yeah. I mean, if the bull came to me, I'd run away, you know.
But did you die?
It's the only question that matters. Oh, my gosh.
You wouldn't stand there for the... There's an amount of money. There's an amount of money.
What's that amount for you?
Yeah. You know what? That amount would be...
To stand... The bull might not even go after you.
$130,000.
Very specific.
That's my mortgage, so that's what I'll do.
Okay. I was like, where does that money come from?
It's my mortgage. So if y'all can come up with that, I'm in.
Good to know.
I'd do it for 10 grand.
I'd do it for less, obviously. Do it for $1,000.
I'll do it for 50 cents.
Not for 100.
That's Crazy.
A new study is raising awareness of risks associated with improper dog walking, which could lead to hip and upper body fractures.
A new study.
According to the study, if
Who's
a big
study?
Dog wants to chase a squirrel, anyone, especially the elderly, are at risk. The very leash you're working with could be a problem, too.
Oh.
A harness that turns the dog's head or squeezes their middle and applies pressure when the person pulls could make all the difference.
I wonder how much we paid for that. And is it? I wonder if it's a governmental study.
Has anybody told you, like, when you read like that, you sound a lot like Captain Obvious? You and that guy have a lot of similarities.
I do get that. I don't know where it comes from, but I do get that a lot.
Fake news.
Yeah.
So they want you to have a collar that goes around the dog's body, not the neck.
I think actually there like are collars that they approve of that do go around the neck too, but it's just about the way that you treat the collar and pull the dog.
Excuse me.
Tony's having done.
Is that enough?
Next.
No.
Are you walking, Danny? New artifacts uncovered at Stonehenge reveal that the world-renowned site has been attracting visitors for thousands of years. This conclusion is reached because of pig remains.
What?
The pig remains uncovered at Stonehenge are thought to be a part of pig roasts and feasts held at the site, and researchers think they could have been a part of the very first discussions to unite the British Islands.
How did those pigs fare after...
Well, after they got eaten?
It was to eat, right?
They were to eat. Yeah, yeah.
Well, allegedly. Nobody knows for sure.
It was according to these researchers. Yeah, they weren't there.
The pigs are not talking, so we don't know.
How much would it take for us to let a pig charge you at you? Not like...
a pig. You know.
Pigs can get pretty big.
Depends on which, what kind
if
of
it's like
are
a hog,
here.
If it's a wild boar, then no thank you.
Like a Pumba.
How
like
much
a feral
would you?
Hog, like Marshall Lynch and the feral hog?
How much would you pay
I
for a really good pulled
I'm
pork sandwich?
I'm about to
sandwich.
Put paws on you.
A pulled pork sandwich?
Give me some peppies.
Mm.
Yeah.
Marshall Lynch.
I thought that was going to be an alien story.
This pig is really starting to P.O. me off. Are you walking?
A 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist.
Who's the ding-dong that stood in the silly circle while he let these bulls run at him? It's really POing me off.
130K.
All right. A 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Climate change, Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right. Here's how they connect it. Norwegian socialist minister Freddy André Øvstegård said, quote, "We have proposed Greta Thunberg... because if we do nothing to halt climate change, it will be the cause of wars, conflict, and refugees. Thus, the Peace Prize."
Mm. So, because...
A stretch.
Just because she's fighting climate change and bringing awareness to it.
And if we don't fight climate change, there will be wars, conflict, and refugees.
Well, that sounds a lot like the way some of these presidential candidates talk about the presence of the wall. Just in general, what can be, what can come of putting up a wall and how dangerous it's going to be.
There has been so many young activists lately, especially about climate change. Like we just saw that happening with Pelosi, with those school students surrounding her and talking about the Green New Deal. It's happening so much more.
You'd like be crazy not to jump on that bandwagon if you were young. You get lots of attention. Make a career out of it.
There you go.
It's sad. It's really disingenuous because, when people talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I really believe that she believes the things she's saying. I don't think it's fake at all. And seems to be quite misled. Are you walking,
Danny? This is the last one. It's the most important. Emily Ratajkowski is being trolled for her latest bikini pic, and Cosmo reports that she is having none of it. Most of the defense happened.
My kind of story.
Most of the defense happened on behalf of her friend, a plus size model in the pic, saying, quote, "I love my friend's body," end quote.
Do you remember when Emily Ratajkowski said that she couldn't get work in Hollywood because she's too beautiful?
No. Oh my gosh, I Who? Do remember that.
The same woman that we're talking about in the story.
Is she too pretty?
She's the bikini model that got famous from the Blurred Lines video, Robin Thicke Blurred Lines video.
She's too pretty
and
to get
said,
work.
She said that. Like I'm having a hard time getting work because I'm too
Such
perfect. Like that's what she said.
Life is hard. America is a really hard place to be. Where I dance topless in a music video with Alan Thicke's son then just become unemployable because
Life's
I'm
cruel.
Just too amazing.
Yep.
I got nothing. That's crazy. All right. Podcast at radio.com, iTunes, 971talk.com/Annie. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.